And we welcome you to the Lunchtime Doctor program. We've got our very own, your Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Safia Mohammed. She's joining us on Freedom 106.5 FM, also simulcast on our sister stations, Vibe CT 105 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. Along the way, your medical questions and concerns facilitated by Dr. Mohammed on 627-3223, 625-2257 and your messages on WhatsApp 306-1065. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon, Govind. And I know we're having a minor little technical challenges. So I'm going to ask, is there clear voice passage through?
Yes, we're hearing you loud and clear.
Excellent. As all of our listeners know, regardless of any circumstance, I will be here to deliver, answer those questions. The only time I'm not here is when I have my own challenges with my son and his medical concerns. But other than that, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 12 to 1, your lunchtime doctor, Dr. Safia Mohammed, is here to help you dissect those medical challenges. Over to you, Govind, to share the numbers.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mohammed. As mentioned, Dr. Mohammed is here with you to answer your medical concerns and questions. So send those to us right now. You could send us your messages on WhatsApp 306-1065. And of course, your telephone call 627-3223-625-2257. And we know that, of course, school is going to be up and reopened pretty soon. Dr. Mohammed, can you share some advice for parents and caregivers with respect to ensuring that their kids are getting the proper nutrition at the start of the new academic year?
Well, Govind, I believe this morning you're being a mind reader, because that's exactly part of the content for Health Plus tomorrow. And we even shared it in some of the Sunday Guardian, the women's magazine. Getting our children prepared for this new school term. So let's jump into some of the overarching preparation, and then we'll go specifically into nutritional preparation. First and foremost, number one, is to recognize everyone has jitters. Parents, children, even teachers have anxieties in starting that new school, that new term. How do we engage or break down those jitters? By preparation. Acknowledging the anxiety. Maybe you sit, the parent, the caregiver, even the grandparent may sit with the student, sit with your grandchild, your child, and just have that open conversation. Ask them how they feel. Take them as a drive-by to the school. Start with, this week, returning them to their normal wake-up schedules of the earlier wake-up time. Take them to the groceries and let them help you pick out some of the nutritional foods. Let them help you do the packing of the bags. So you are not doing all of that. You want to get our students excited. Now, I'm saying this as advice, as a doctor, but guess what? To all of our listeners, I'm saying this as advice as a mommy who is transitioning her young son from primary school to secondary school. So this is as granular as it gets. Now, in our next bit of the program, we'll answer specifically the nutritional advice.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mohammed. We got a question coming in to us on WhatsApp. Good day, doctor. I would like to know what causes a person to go to the bathroom very often.
And you know, this is one of those symptoms we see in the clinics very often, especially by our male patients. What they present with, they say, "Doc, you know, I kind of wake up in the middle of the night to use the washroom. Doc, I'm going to the washroom more often than usual." The first thing, and what we see more common in our population, is of course diabetes. Diabetes does not present as a high sugar reading as the first symptom. No, diabetes may present as the tingling on the feet, the numbness, going to the washroom fairly frequently, changes in the urine. And this is one of the first things we want to rule out. With our male population, we also want to rule out any prostate concerns. So the person who sent that message in, it's a male person, patient, and say, let's move that forward, and get it checked out. Anything when it comes to passing urine, why you might think that? Well, it's probably because I'm drinking a lot more water. Most times than not, there's a pathology associated. And when I say pathology, that means a disease process associated with going to the washroom more frequently than not. So let's get that checked out.
Thank you, Dr. Mohammed. And of course, our phone line 627-3223, 625-2257, and your text messages on WhatsApp 306-1065. Dr. Mohammed, we're due for our very first commercial break as we thank our corporate sponsors, and we'll be right back right here on Freedom 106.5 FM with the Lunchtime Doctor.
This is 106.5.
All right, friends, once again, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor. Of course, we're being heard here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Understand, Doctor, you're on the line today.
That's right, but still there answering the questions of our callers and persons messaged in. So a warm welcome to our listeners in Trinidad and Tobago and across the region. I already am getting messages from our listeners in the U.S., and that community in Canada, Toronto, Canada, to be specific, that said we have a wide listenership. So a warm welcome to your Lunchtime Doctor.
All right, good day. Of course, folks, our numbers, well, we do the WhatsApp today, 306-1065, 306-1065. And of course, let's try the phone lines. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, Doc. I just went and visit my brother. Now, last year he had his right big toe amputated because it looked like it had gangrene in it or something like that, right? And he has a rash. I don't know if it's a rash or what it is going on, but his foot becomes black. And it has a kind of scalish kind of, it looking like, I don't know if it's a rash or what it is. I don't know if it's a diabetic sore or what. I took a picture of it. I could send it on the WhatsApp number for you to look at. But any recommendations as to what that is?
Because
he's controlling his blood sugar. And yet still this thing, this rash on his foot still.
Okay, so I'll listen on the line. The doctor will answer you.
Okay.
Right. Now, I'm so glad you called in. Honestly, we see a lot of patients, especially in our rural communities, that don't access timely treatment. I'm glad your brother, your relative, is being managing his diabetes. The mere fact that he would have had to reach to a point of an amputation of the toe, of a gangrenous toe, would have meant there was a time when there was uncontrolled diabetes. Now, let me help you analyze the skin change. While it may be perceived as a rash, it's really that deposit of atherosclerosis, where the arteries become clogged up with the fatty substance called plaque, and there's now this presentation on the skin that is discolored. So it's considered a hyperpigmented. So it may look brown, it may look blacker. If there is an entire area of the skin that can be affected around where the amputated toe was. Now, what can be done? What can be done is so important. One, make sure you stay consistent with the diabetic medications. Let's make sure we also, if there's any area that has a foul smell or blister, we may need to not only present back to the health center, but antibiotics may be needed. Even the area around may be damaged, so it may need cleaning. So we call it debridement. In some areas, we may even need to go to last resort, in terms of surgery, to resort to that blood flow. So those are just some of the things that start with making sure your relative go get it checked out. Because here's what, gangrene is end stage, but it's very much preventable. Managing the diabetes, managing the atherosclerosis, managing the peripheral artery disease, which is what teens call circulation disorders, and that actually is the fatty deposits around the arteries that are restricting the blood flow, and of course, managing if there's an infected area. So how does one know if the area is infected? One, there may be pain. Two, there may be a foul smelling, there may even be pus. And then lastly, what you brought forward is that discoloration on the skin. It may look like a rash. It could even be a rash if there's an infected area, because now you have a superimposed fungal infection. But altogether, we need you to present to the health center and get it checked out. Does that answer the question?
All right, Doc, let's get a question here for the WhatsApp. Good day, Doc. My husband is 69 years. His right hand started trembling about 6 months ago, and it's a bit weak. No diabetics. Pressure is good.
His diabetic pressure is good?
No, he's not non-diabetic. Non-diabetic, and his pressure is good.
Okay, great. So what we need to do, because in a case where there's trembling, there could be a hormonal dysfunction. We need to, very importantly, ensure, again, just like the last caller, present to the healthcare facility and check to see, because there's so many underlying causes for that trembling. It could be a peripheral neuropathy. While the diabetes and high blood pressure may be managed now, it may be from previous injury. Just like that previous patient that had gangrene and so was removed, but there would have been an uncontrolled diabetic time. So let's make sure the person presents to the healthcare facility or the professionals and get assessed.
All right. Hi, Doc. I know that you've mentioned in the past, but can you repeat the stuff that you could use to soak your feet in water? Thank you.
Excellent question. And would you believe just this weekend, I used that exact remedy or mixture of things in terms of soaking, what to put into soaking your feet in the water. It is something called the Epsom salts. There are different names for it. It's something you can get over the counter. It's very easy to access. Some people may even ask, can we soak our feet in vinegar? And yes, that apple cider vinegar, if there are, and just for the gangrene patients as well, a very, you're mixing that 1 teaspoon to say probably about 500 mils of water. It's a very dilute mixture. If there's an infection, you can even add apple cider vinegar. So here's what's important there. It's rich in those acids and helps to regulate the pH balance of the skin. You can also, as we talked about, you can even soak the feet, and we mentioned that other one before, not just the Epsom salts, but you can add in different different oils, moisturizing oils, lavender oils, coconut oil. All of that adds to the skin, to the nourishment of the skin. Of course, there are a number of things on the market. You can be guided by a podiatrist, but I like to keep it simple. I take out the machine where I'm soaking my feet, give that foot spa, add a little bit of Epsom salt, probably use a scrub, and of course, the sitting tools for cleaning and cleansing the feet and the skin. Soak it in for about 15 minutes, and then that soothes the skin, and then we can move forward to shifting out or removing any dead skin. Now, I want to give a special caution. If the patient is diabetic, know that there may be areas of numbness. So we're not going to use harsh files, because a harsh file could damage the skin. You may not even know or feel how harsh it is onto the skin. and that may lead to an infection. So be guided, all our diabetics, if they're doing a foot spa, be guided by the podiatrist.
All right, thank you there, Doc. Of course, 12:24 is our time with the kind compliments of Super Farm. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. Let's get some more of your WhatsApp messages at 306-1065. Doctor is on the line today. Good afternoon. Can you tell me what happens when your body cannot digest protein?
So that's a very interesting question. When the body can't digest protein, there may be, again, some sort of metabolic dysfunction. The body is indeed aimed and, of course, sculpted in such a way that it can break down digesting protein. There may be some difficulty in digesting protein in the stomach, but there isn't any actual phenomena where there aren't insufficient pepsins or the enzymes secreted within the stomach to be able to fully digest the proteins. Unless, of course, like I mentioned, there is some sort of metabolic pathology. Most times than not, the body is fully able to digest the proteins, but it may be obstructed if there's any sort of pathology in the esophagus or in the stomach, or if there is an reflux, something we talked about a lot, gastroesophageal reflux disease. Of course, proteins are essential building blocks. So if there's any sort of inhibition in digesting the proteins, that needs to be guided by a gastroenterologist. Hope that answers the question.
Another question here. Hi, doctor. What's good for mucus?
So, mucus could be from the nose, from the eyes, even within the mouth. It depends on where the source of that mucus. We want to be able to know that mucus is very normal in the body. The only time I'm concerned about mucus is when it changes color, when it becomes something like that green, it may have an odor, and that may be a superimposed bacterial infection. What's good? If it's mucus within the nasal passageway, the respiratory passageway, let's ensure that you are moistening it. This is where a nebulizer might help, a humidifier might help, or even nasal drops. If it's mucus within the oral passageway, it could be something concerning with the adenoids or the lymph nodes within the mouth. If it's the eyes, then we use the eye drop or the lubricating drop. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Good day. I have, good afternoon, Doc. Earlier this year, I was diagnosed with rhinoconjunctivitis. Since then, I've been terribly sick 2 times for the year. I've had a Bell's palsy attack where my left side of my face becomes paralyzed and my bottom jaw twist. In June, I was then given another diagnosis, fibromyalgia. All right. Pain throughout my entire body, insomnia, muscles, twitches, breakouts of hives. I was given a number of steroids, and once I do not have it, I cannot operate well. I understand that this sickness does not have a cure, but can you please help me at least better understand this?
So when it comes to fibromyalgia, it's a diagnosis that we don't see often, and it's really speaking for patients, it's so much pain. Fibromyalgia is a chronic disorder where there may be pain, tenderness, fatigue, trouble sleeping, headache. It can be even something that leads to depression. So as a healthcare professional, we take a very much a multidisciplinary approach. We still try to see if there's any associated immunocompromised pathology, as in rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, SLE, because all of those disease processes can also present with fibromyalgia. And we also ensure that if depression or anxiety is associated, that there's some inclusion of emotional wellness and psychotherapy. Yes, there are medications, and I want to reassure whoever messaged them. There are medications, there are a lot of innovations their medications to help calm or reduce the pain or the heightened sensitivity associated with fibromyalgia. It may not completely stop the pain, and that's why I was very hesitant in those words. It's really about reducing and calm, because there isn't sufficient medication yet to completely stop and block the pain. Now, keep in mind, there are also environmental triggers that can worsen or offset my fibromyalgia. If one presents with increased stress in the environment, or say the increased light or heat, as we're experiencing now, may trigger that autoimmune. So there are environmental or non-genetic factors that play a role in the trigger. And it's very key to understand those to help manage these. Hope that helps.
Good day, Doc. What are your views on using CBD oil together with prescribed Epilum 200 for treating seizures?
So that is still while it has indeed been included in the intensive care areas and under the guidance of healthcare professionals, as we know here, it's not yet legitimized. So the answer will be given, and there's constant discussions internationally on the use of CBD oil in seizures. I think I know what exactly I'll do. We'll bring on a neurologist to answer some of those in-depth questions, because this is a very good topic. Hold on to that question until whoever sent in, and I will move it as well for another session.
All right. What are some fruits you should use in moderation to control your blood sugar? Thank you.
Some fruits or foods? What did they ask?
They asked for fruits. Fruits.
Fruits. Okay. So it is so important that we know that some fruits has a high glycemic index. So what does that glycemic index mean? That glycemic index means the ability to incur a glucose load. In that, when you have it, then your sugar levels can, and those are the ones that we will try to avoid. So let me give you an example. Most Britons love watermelon. So do I. But watermelon has a very high glycemic index. It's as high as 75, which means it can eat.
All right, we seem to have lost the doctor there. We will have to call her back. Remember, of course, it's a lunchtime doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm. Right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. We shall return. All right, so we have the doctor on the line. Let's go to his school today.
Thank you so much to all of our listeners who are going the flow with us despite these little connections. So we talked about the glycemic index. So what fruits are beneficial to a diabetic to help bring down their sugar? We just talked about watermelon. So I'm not too sure where we got cut off, but I mentioned that watermelon has a high glycemic index, 75. Let's talk about something that has a lower glycemic index, bananas. But it depends on how ripe it is. A ripe banana can have a higher glycemic index, but when it's about mid-level, it's perfect. And perfect meaning along that 48 under the 50 level. Even grapes, especially your green grapes, a lower glycemic index. Fruits like pomegranate, low glycemic index, 35. Grapefruit, low glycemic index, 22. Keep in mind, some fruits have a very high glycemic index. We mentioned the watermelon. Fruits like pineapple also have a high glycemic index, 65. Apricots, pears, at a rate of 60. So that means when you have it, it's going to cause a spike in your sugars. We do know we have a wide variety of fruits right here in Trinidad, and you can tell what will spike that sugar based on how it flavors, how it tastes. Let's talk about something I love. A want to know how many of our listeners here love mangoes. Guess what? Some mangoes, lower glycemic index. Starch mango, high glycemic index. Julie, high. So mangoes can range from under the 50. A Julie mango may be as high as even 75. Again, everything in moderation, because what fruits give you in small proportions is that fruits also give you those micronutrients and fiber, crucially important for digestion and your vitamin C. So if you were to have some of your fruits in small portions, hope that answers the question.
All right, Doc, thank you very much. Well, our two lines are free now. You could call 627-3223 and 625-2257, as well as WhatsApp 306-1065. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. A good day, Doc. I am non-diabetic, but my blood sugar is high. What do you prescribe for me? And what natural food can I use to get it back to normal? Yes, Doc, hello?
Yes, hearing clearly?
Yeah, hearing you. Yeah, right. You heard the question, right? But,
so let's jump straight into this question. Anybody who has a high sugar level as a random, then that can equate a diagnosis of diabetes. We need to do one or two more tests further to figure out or confirm it. But once there's a high sugar level, most times than not, it means you're diabetic. But you're very correct. You can manage it just by nutrition, but it depends on if there are any complications. So the advice you give to all of our diabetics, sugar is your enemy. Sugar is available in multiple forms, in pasta, in rotis, in potato. So we stay away from an abuse or overuse in our meals of those items. Stay away from the processed. Go as natural as possible. Our green leafy vegetables, our salads, increase your hydration. Increase your fruit intake. We also want to enjoy a little bit of protein. So that is a balanced split. Hope that answers your question.
All right. And of course, Dr. Well, of course, we have the passing of Denise Plummer that was announced yesterday. May she rest in peace. I know we have a lot of people with cancer patients out there, people who have family and friends who may have cancer. How part of, does your diet play in cancer?
Now, as you mentioned that, yesterday was such a saddened day. So give me the moment to express my condolences to all of our listeners who are fans of Denise Plummer, all of her loved ones, family members, friends. My sincerest condolences to all of the persons affected by this passing. And I think it's the entire nation, because at some point in time, we've all sung along the Denise Plummer song. In her legacy, yes, we do know that she passed away from cancer, and we've had many persons, many celebrities right here in Trinidad pass away from cancer. Yes, nutrition plays quite a significant role. I do believe I'm going to hold on that advice and answer that in tomorrow's segment, simply because the focus in, at this point, yes, nutrition plays a significant role in managing cancer. However, one may take all necessary precautions, and we must understand that this thing called cancer can ravage the body. So while we take the preventative measures, we also want to understand that what cancer does to the body. So we'll definitely answer that question tomorrow.
All right, folks. Of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. Send your WhatsApp messages to 306-1065. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Superfarm, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. All right. We asked to answer that question there about the fruits with the blood sugar. What are we can expect in tomorrow's Health Plus there, Doc?
So in tomorrow's Health Plus, I'm so excited about tomorrow, end of month publication. We're sharing about some local research. Often in Trinidad and Tobago, we don't hear about research happening on the quality of life of patients. One particular team from the Health Economics Unit of University of West Indies looks specifically at multiple sclerosis patients. Now, early on in the year, we talked about this multiple sclerosis. We're also going to be talking about hemophilia, which affects more of our children than adults, and even more so our male patients. So we're giving that focus on multiple sclerosis and hemophilia. We're also going to be sharing on a little bit of back-to-school tips, maintaining your nutrition, all of that and more in your Health Plus tomorrow.
All right. Good day, Doc. What does the color of your nails, fingernails, and toenails say about your health, if anything?
Most definitely. That's a great question, whoever sent that in. Now, we are familiar with what the normal coloration of the nail should be, that pink nail bed with the whitened tip or the whitened nail edge. If there's discoloration, so let's say it goes purple or blue, that's something called cyanosis. In fact, say our cardiovascular patients or our young children or pediatric patients with some sort of cardiomyopathy, we often check their fingernails and we check to see if there's any bluish discoloration called cyanosis. There can even be little white spots, and they call that the calcium spot. So that represents a micronutrient deficiencies. There can be ridging of the nails. There can be indentation of the nails, which all can be like a fungal infection within the body. So yes, just like the eyes, it's the windows to the soul, the nails gives us a lot of information as well.
All right, and look, this is a question here, but for ladies, especially for ladies who like do their fingernails on a regular, you know, do their nails on a regular. Is there any hazard towards that, like doing your nails too much?
Most definitely. Now, let's just get into that process of what happens in taking care. And that's just not taking the care. When we say do the nails, I'm presuming you're talking about the extra layers on the nail, the gel, etc. So for application of gel, the nail bed has to be filed down. So in fact, the nails can become thinner. Also, when you're not just applying the gel, but in placing the hand into the machine that seals the gel onto the nails, we must be mindful of the rays that are indeed emitted and how it may dry out the skin. So one, the skin can be affected, and two, the nails themselves can be thinned, can be weakened. One may notice after a while, and I think most nail techs do recommend that after two or three cycles, you're supposed to give your nails breathing time. If not, you can damage the health status of the nails.
All right. Hi, Doc. What's going on when your blood pressure is good, but your pulse is high, like over 100 plus? Thank you.
Great question. I'm laughing because I nearly answered. That's pretty much me every morning as I have my morning cup of coffee. So can your blood pressure be normal and your pulse rate be high? Yes. A high pulse rate is tachycardia. Here are a few things. So normal activities can send your pulse rate up. Let's just say you take a run up and down the step or do an engaging activity that gets the heart racing. Or it can be too much caffeine. It can even be anxiety. But when we go into pathology now, I'd want us to check the thyroid hormone, because hyperthyroidism can cause a tachycardia. It can even become more sinister when there's something called an SVT, a supraventricular tachycardia, where the heart rate goes well over 150, 160, even up to 200. And that's a pathology within the heart itself. So if you're finding that your heart rate is elevated more often than not, then that needs to be checked out. Now, if it's elevated after an activity, that's normal. But if it's elevated at rest, that's when we want to check out. Here's another thing you need to know. If at the moment when you find that your heart rate is elevated and you go into a breathing exercise to help trigger or set off the parasympathetic system, move down the heart rate,
That breathing exercise, and one I like to engage and tell all of my clients, is breathe 4, 5, 6. 4 seconds on the inhale, hold it for 5 seconds, 6 seconds on the exhale. Now you want the expiration, as in breathing out, to be longer than the inspiration, because your carbon dioxide can also trigger a tachycardia. Breathe 4, 5, 6. And you're doing that for 5 times. That's essentially 1 minute. In 1 minute, your heart rate can be reduced. So if you do this exercise and you find that your heart rate is still elevated, please take that next step and get it checked out.
All right, folks. Of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. Send your WhatsApp messages to 306-1065. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. All right, question here. Hi, good day, doctor. My blood pressure is 123 over 78, pulse 93, 63-year-old female.
Can we just repeat those numbers?
Yeah, 123 over 78.
Right.
Pulse 93.
Pulse 93.
And she is 63 years old.
Oh, wow. Excellent. So, let me dissect those numbers. BP 123 on 78. Excellent, excellent. Textbook, I would say, because you're just about hovering the 120 on 80. Pulse at 93 is a little on the elevated side. I will do exactly that exercise I just told you. Take a little sit for 5 minutes. Do your breathing exercise. Bring the body to a calm and repeat the evaluation. Other than that, I'm A-OK with those numbers.
All right. Doc, what causes little boils under your arm?
Very good question. Under the arm, there's something called lymph nodes. There can be a few things. There can be swellings under the arm that leads to this lump, or it may be an infected hair follicle that can cause that boil. Another thing it could be is a growth. Sometimes under the arm, there are many additional growth. Are these things to be worried about? Yes, and I'll become worried if it's painful. I'll become worried if it's increasing in size over an short period of time. So if you're looking at it today and you look at it 1 week from now and it's just increasing in size, then I'll become worried. But generally, those boils under your arm typically is nothing to be worried about. It may even be a pimple, as in a sebaceous gland. If it is a pimple, please don't try to burn it. Please don't try to pierce it, because you may just make it infected. If you're concerned, there's no harm in seeking a dermatologist review. Hope that answers your question.
What about the deodorant, doctor? Could deodorant cause that as well?
So while I would say deodorant may not necessarily cause it, it can also be the specks within the deodorant can enter if there's an open hair follicle, because boils are usually found on hair follicles that have become infected. They can occur anywhere. So yes, sweat on the hair follicles do provide this atmosphere for the boils, and this is where one can ensure there's proper hygiene. You want to take a warm, wet cloth and wipe under the area. So you're not just washing and throwing water, but you're also applying some level of pressure to the area to help remove any little fine specks of infection, any little fine specks of the deodorant leftover, anything to ensure there isn't any irritation or sweat around the hair follicle.
All right, doctor. We have some questions coming in here. Messages, of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm. All right, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM. Dear doctor, what is the best medication to use for high blood pressure?
Great question. Now, there are several medications that can be used for high blood pressure. It depends on what is the trigger of that high blood pressure, first and foremost. So, and when I say trigger, sometimes it may be a concern with the kidney. Sometimes it may be high cholesterol that's causing the high blood pressure. Sometimes it may be an arrhythmia. Sometimes it may just be diabetes leading to non-communicable diseases. So the medication is very much based on what is the actual pathology. And many times we combine medications. So you may have us, some patients with medications that lower their heart rate, or some patients with medications with lowering their heart, reducing the amount of excessive fluid within the body. Some may have to help aid in preventing any further swelling of the heart or heart failure, and of course, our cholesterol-lowering medications. Hope that answers the question.
Good day, Doc. I've been feeling a pain on my lower left side of my stomach. Do you have any idea what this could be? I've been feeling it for about 3 weeks now.
So if there's pain on that lower, they said left or right?
Left side.
Yeah, any pain on the left side, and that's why I double-checked, because any pain on the left side is one that I'm always concerned about. So let's make sure, yes, I am concerned. Let's make sure you also move that forward in being evaluated.
Okay. Hi, good day, Doc. When I eat roti or dal, my blood sugar is elevated. What's going on there? Thank you.
Just like we talked about, roti has a high glycemic index. We really underestimate what roti does to the body. But roti has a high glycemic index and it can spike your sugar. What's that about? We need to cut down. Here's what you can do. There's things called cassava flour now. There's corn flour. You can even use the whole wheat flour. All of that is a reduced glycemic index. But my best suggestion would be to cut down the amount of roti.
Good day, Doc. I'm a 45-year-old male. At time, I feel a sort of a jolt or chill in my body from time to time. Is that anything to be worried about?
So, it depends on if there's any associated symptoms. One may feel that change in temperature within your core based on what the environmental temperatures are, but it could also be if there's a hormonal change, especially as we mentioned, that hormone called thyroid. If it's lower, you may feel colder easily. If it's higher, in a case of hyperthyroidism, you may feel warm much easier.
All right, and of course, as you mentioned, temperature, we've been having some hot days these days, Doc. Any advice for the people out there?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because those temperatures are indeed debilitating, especially to our at-risk groups. That's our elderly, our young children, and our pregnant patients. What do we need to do? One, wherever possible, we need to be able to keep ourselves hydrated. And when I say hydrated, we may even need to double up, because you may find that that increased temperatures is also waning. It's affecting your energy levels. If possible, stay in areas that are cooler environments. I've seen on social media the number of little small fans popping up. I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be a surge in the sale of fans. So wherever possible, keep yourself cooler. Yes, these temperatures are through the roof. And we also need to be mindful of patients and their medications. So those that are on hypertensive medications, if you are sweating excessively, it can affect your hypertension medications and your diabetic medications. So be mindful of all of these factors.
Good afternoon, Doctor. What are the benefits of CMOS?
Great question. Are you a fan of CMOS? I know we have plenty of persons here in Trinidad that are fans of CMOS. Now, let's just jump into that. While it can be low in calories, it is indeed significantly higher in sugar based on the preparation. ever had a nice Seymour's drink and realized this is just too sweet, too sweet. But if properly prepared, Seymour's is indeed a great source of protein and a good source of some of those micronutrients like calcium, magnesium, iodine. Seymour's is a good source of iron, vitamin C, and E, and we know all of those help in supporting the immune system. So it's really in the preparation, it's where you can be, it can become quite unhealthy if too much sugars are added. But the general preparation as a milk drink can be maintained as a low-fat, low-calorie, reduced sugar drink. Tons of pros with Seymour's, but it can easily add in the cons. Hope that answers the question.
Oh, good day, Doc. What causes my hands to peel? My hand peels profusely at times. What causes my hands to peel?
So there are many things that will cause the skin in particular to peel. It may be this dryness of the skin. It may be eczema that's causing the hand to peel. It may even be a fungal infection. One, we need to get our patients checked. Another thing that can be that thing is when there's excessive hand washing and not the return of moisture. Now, in my clinics, right at the sink, there is your hand wash, and then there's a bottle of cream. And that bottle of cream is obviously dermatological tested. So it's one that is indeed approved by dermatologists, and it gives that relief to your skin. So the one in particular that I tend to use, it has a high moisturizing factor. There's certain colloids, ceramides, oatmeal in it in particular, to return the level of moisture. So there are a couple things that are unfortunately lead to the skin peeling. It can even be a micronutrient deficiency. So I suggest, if it's something that's concerning, please see your dermatologist.
All right, Doug, we have just about 3 more minutes, so let's go over what will be in the Health Plus for tomorrow.
Oh, my, I didn't realize we're almost out of time. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I want to thank our sponsors. Superfarm has always been phenomenal in partnering with Health Plus and the Lunchtime Doctor, and we're always grateful for that support in bringing this program to our listeners. In fact, I've heard they play the program on all of their stores. So not only are our listeners who are at home benefiting, but our listeners in commercial spaces. So huge appreciation, gratitude to Superfarm, our sponsor, making this program happen for you, our listeners. In our Health Plus tomorrow, you're going to hear a little bit more on two very important conditions: hemophilia and multiple sclerosis. Recently in Trinidad and Tobago, there's been local research, and we're going to be talking a little bit more on that. And of course, in tomorrow's program, we're going to help you prepare your young ones for the school term.
All right, thank you there very much, Doc.
And as we wrap up the program, I want to remind everyone that you can join us on CNC3 at about 7:40, 7:45 TV on CNC3, The Morning Brew, for that health segment. And we continue it in print, in your Guardian, and right here on the TBC network. So be safe, everyone. Stay cool. Stay safe.
All right. Thank you there very much, folks. Of course, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor.